you're glad you're here, say amen today. Amen. I am glad I'm here as well, and we are thankful, so thankful for the choir, the praise team ministering to us the Word of God in song. And we realize we say that a lot, but if you have ever had to stand and preach where there was no singing or where there was dead singing, then you would say it every Sunday too. And so we do appreciate it, and we are very, very thankful for how God has with us here at Liberty. We're glad you're here at Liberty today. We're excited about what God's done, but I'm even excited about what God's going to do. Even this very hour, if I didn't believe that, I would not have come over here today. But we believe that Jesus is Lord, and we believe He will keep us as the things of the Lord. Is going to fall on this place. They already have, and we're looking for more. So it's good to see you. We need to act alive. If we serve a living, risen Savior, we should act alive this morning, wake up. Josh, I'm looking at a few that just needs a resurrection. They need more than being woke up. They need resurrection life. Stand with us, if you will, and turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Jeremiah 8, verse 22. And I'm just going to read this one verse. The whole chapter is important. The prophets, we understand, they're difficult at times to really understand. It's a shame that there are some preachers and teachers who say the Old Testament is no longer relevant today. What a sad lie that they have believed. It's very relevant today because, see, in the Old Testament, we have the New Testament concealed. And in the New Testament, we find the Old Testament revealed. Go back and watch the tape or get the CD and you can get that again. I'm not repeating it. But there's much of Jesus all throughout God's Word, all 66 books, all 39 in the Old Testament. I want you to think on this thought before I read this one verse, and I want you to think on this. There is a balm in Gilead. That may not mean much to you right now, but I'm about to explain. There is a balm in Gilead. Look what Jeremiah says in chapter 8, verse 22. And he says this, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? ? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" You may be seated, and I pray that God adds the blessings to the reading of His Word. We have somebody with us this morning who is very sick. Somebody that is ill. Somebody who really is not doing well at all. That somebody at any given time or various times in our life is you and me. See, one of the things that we need to realize when we read the Word of God and study the Word of God is that, number one, we are just messed up individuals without Christ. Number two, we need to realize that we are all messed up and have problems. I'll never forget my first doctoral class was... And I mentioned this last Sunday in the life groups. It was counseling couples in distress. It was taught by Dr. Tim Clinton. He's one of the next James Dobsons of America, one of the leading and foremost Christian counselors really in the world today. But my first day of class, I remember sitting in there, and they started talking about attachment theories. If you've had any psychology, anything, you know what I'm talking about. But I sat there and I listened, and just within like the first hour, I realized and I found out that my mom and dad are messed up. The next hour, I found out that they messed me up. And the next hour, I just couldn't get over the fact that I'm one messed up individual. I'm like, this is bad. Like, I knew it was bad before the class, but now I am convinced that I'm just all screwed up coming and going. And then the remainder of the day, I learned about how that I've screwed my children up. So if you look at Abigail and Elizabeth and you wonder what in the world is wrong with those two screwed up teenagers, I screwed them up. So as we read Jeremiah, and as we see the plight of the people, and we see where God's people are at, we see that they have all of these problems. And friends, you and I today are no different than the people of God in Jeremiah's day. We have all of these problems in our lives. Now, the liberal, they will want to stand and preach, and they will want to just deal with all of your problems, your struggles, your troubles, your worries, while excluding our chief problem, and that is that we are a sinful man in need of a Savior. They'll deal with all of the other social issues without dealing with the one true issue, and that's a sin problem in our life. Now, the liberal, or the legalist, if you will, the preacher who will stand and preach a list of rules to you that you must abide by, he will preach our sin problem in such a way to where he preaches that that's the only way, the only area Jesus will help us is just with our sin problem, and he'll save us. And the legalist will exclude all of our other problems that we have in life. But I want you to know there's a middle of the road. The Lord is interested in helping us not only to save us from our sins, to cleanse us of our sin debt, but he's interested in all the other troubles we have in our life. The struggles we may have with depressions or discouragement or relational issues, the home we was raised in, the troubles in our family, the troubles with our kids and our children, financial issues. I think the Lord is interested in every aspect of his children's life. And so what's happening here in this passage of Scripture is, without going into detail of all the previous verses, is God's people were in need. God's people were in trouble. Much of it was their fault and their doing. They had not fully followed the Lord and his word. And I just want to say something. Out of all of our troubles and all of our trials, all of our problems and burdens we may carry around, much of it is rooted in the very fact that we have a sin problem. And that we won't fully commit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus or to his written word that he's given us as a guide for life. I'm not saying if we fully submit to the Lordship and fully abide in his word that there'll be no troubles. I'm not suggesting that. But I just know that many times when people come to me with great troubles, I can ask a couple questions and we can diagnose this right off the bat. I'll say, how's your prayer life? Well, I've not really been praying much at all. When's the last time you've been in the word? Well, I've not picked up the Bible in ages, preacher. And so God's people were in this dilemma. They had sinned, and then they had this whole host of other problems that fell upon them. And so Jeremiah, out of frustration, now watch this. Here is one of the things about the prophets in the Word of God. They preach a doom and gloom message. I mean, if you didn't read it all, you would want to run, jump off a bridge somewhere, because they just preach doom and gloom. But another thing they always do is somewhere in their writings, they're going to point to Jesus, the answer, the solution to all of life's needs. And so Jeremiah, he's frustrated. In fact, in verse 21, he says, I am crushed because God's people are crushed. They have this sin debt weighing on them. They have this burden upon them. They have these struggles upon them, and it burdens me. And Jeremiah knows, as a prophet of God, he knows that there is a cure for all of life's troubles. He knows that there is a cure for all of life's sins. He knows that there is a physician that can heal them and make them whole. And so he asked this rhetorical question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician to make them whole? See, they had tried many different things. In fact, Jeremiah, that word balm is used, speaking of the balm of Gilead, is used three times in Scripture. Only three times. Jeremiah uses it twice. The other place is over in Jeremiah chapter 46, and here's what the Lord says. The Lord says, you've tried to find the answer for all of your problems in everything else in life, and you have come up empty. And you have not come to me to find answers and help to all of your troubles. Jeremiah says, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in chapter 46, and he said, you have exhausted every means. Isn't that what we do? Let's just bring this right home. We've got struggles. We've got troubles. We may come to church and act like they know there's no troubles. But listen to me. We all have it. It may be relationally. It may be something within our family that is a great burden to us. It may be something from our past. It may be a struggle with our children. It may be financial. It may be marital. It may be emotional. It may be a mental struggle you have. Maybe it's even physical. I was thinking about our physical struggles today. Man, I'm so glad the Word of God says that He is our healer. I believe that applies so much broader than just healing my soul and saving me from my sins. But I believe physically, because I've been there, I know I've been touched by the great physician in my past days. He's a healer. And so we all have these issues, if you will. I won't say messed up again or screwed up, because you acted like that offended you. I'll just save that for when I'm talking about you behind your back, and I'll tell my buddy that you're messed up. I don't do that, but I will tell you this. Todd and I, we frequently get off the phone, and he will, our goodbyes will be something like this. He'll say, man, thanks for the call today, Dave. I felt pretty good until I talked to you, and now I feel worthless. And I'll call, or I'll end the conversation. I said, man, thanks for reminding me how messed up I am. Do me a favor. Don't call me for another week. Give me some time to recover from this. Because we all have got these issues. And so Jeremiah is frustrated when he looks on God's people and sees them in such struggle, and they are so crushed, and it crushes him, because he knows that there is a solution. And as Jeremiah writes this, Jeremiah is looking some 600 years into the future, and he sees the coming Messiah, who is the answer to all of our ailments and all of life's problems. He is the solution to man's sin problem. And Jeremiah weeps because God's people won't choose that solution. Can you imagine how foolish it would be to go to the doctor? Now, I realize that some of you are tough men. I'm not one of those guys anymore. Somebody said a while back that they were working at a church work day and they fell and hurt their knee, and said they laid down and started crying, or they laid down and wanted to cry, but they wouldn't because of all the men standing around. I said, well, you're not old enough yet, because when you get to a certain age, you'll just go ahead and cry when it hurts that bad. We got some crying men in here. You're at that age now. So Jeremiah, what he does is this. He says, where is that balm? Why have you not used it? You know how foolish it would be to go to the doctor and the doctor say, here's what's wrong with you. Here's what's wrong with you. Here's the medicine. How foolish it would be for you to say, I don't want that medicine, doc. You know how foolish that would be? And I realize we can't just run to the doctor and pop everything they prescribe. I understand that. But I'm talking about within reason and within intellect and within sound medical advice. You may be one of them people, when you have a headache, you don't go grab two Tylenol. But I'm telling you, we buy the bottles in the quart jars at Sam's. I get a headache every day. Got one right now. But anyway, so how foolish it would be to have a medicine that would cure your illness and for you to say, no thanks, I'll pass, I don't want it. But there's a doctor that can help you. No, I don't want to see that doctor. It's a guaranteed cure. No, I'll just keep my illness. That's pretty foolish, isn't it? How even more foolish is it for you to come into church and you have these troubles in your life? These problems in your life? These things you struggle with endlessly, day in and day out? How foolish it would be for us to come to God's house where there is a cure and to sit in our place and not move and not expect help, not expect to be cured, and leave here the same way we come. Man, I'm telling you, I got something for you though. I come today and I come with the intent on leaving different than the way I come to God's house. I've got these issues. I've got these troubles. I've got these burdens. I know that I'm a sick man. But when I got up and headed this way this morning, I said, God, I don't want to leave the way I go this morning. When I leave, I want to be cured and touched by the great physician himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jeremiah says, is there this balm in Gilead? And I want you to understand something. I don't care what has afflicted you. I don't care how long you've been afflicted. I don't care how many sleepless nights you've had. I don't care how deep and dark your depression has been. I don't care how broken your body has been. I don't care how bad you are financially speaking. I want you to understand that I believe that there is a cure, and that cure is found not in a 12-step sermon, not in a 7 ways to be happy, not in 10 ways to find a success in life, but I believe it's found only in Jesus, our Christ. It's all about Jesus. And so there's this balm in Gilead. What is he talking about? I went to Walmart the other day, and I did not see any balm of Gilead sitting on the shelves, so to speak. And so it's not something familiar to us. Now, there's been all kinds of cures through the ages. I know up home one of the cures the old-timers have is groundhog grease. You get, I've mentioned it 3 or 4 times down here. We're only 108 miles away. How can we be so far apart culturally? But up there, the old-timers use groundhog grease. You got something that needs to be cured? You need some groundhog grease. You got gout? You need groundhog grease. You got trouble with your kidneys? You need groundhog grease. You need to slick your hair back? You need groundhog grease. You cook a groundhog, that old fat rolls off of it. Settles on top of that pot. You scoop that off, you drink that groundhog grease, and it'll cure you. Some of you need a good dose of groundhog grease this morning. It'll either make you sick or make you better, one of the two. I don't know which. Sounds pretty sickening to me. But the balm of Gilead, and I'm going to be quick with this. What is the balm of Gilead? Well, it comes from the balsam tree that's found in that Middle Eastern climate. You need to understand really just 3 things that I can think of about the balm of Gilead. Number one, it's not found in that region of Palestine. So number one, it comes from a long way off. Way east of the Jordan, way back in the mountains, there's a little tree. It's a balsam tree. So it comes from a long way off. It's very precious. In fact, the third time we see the occurrence of this word, the balm, speaking of the balm of Gilead, is when Joseph has been cast into a pit by his brothers. Let me just throw in a side note right there. Nobody can hurt us as deeply as family can. Is that right? Say amen. Yeah. Some of our greatest wounds have not been by our enemies, but by our friends and our family. Just stick that nugget away. Let God deal with you on that just a little while in this altar. Help you and heal you. So he'd been cast into the pit by his brothers. Along came a band of travelers. And they were coming from that area of Gilead. And the Bible says this, that they had spices, they had balm, and they had myrrh. And oh, Joseph and his story, he's a type of Jesus. In other words, he's a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. And so he had been sold into slavery. And these travelers were bringing balm. They had brought it from a long way away. And when I think about all the healing that was in that balm, all of the help that was in that balm from this little plant, this evergreen type plant that come from a long way off. Josh, I started thinking about the healing that comes from Jesus and where he come from. He come from a long way off. In fact, the Bible says that he left heaven's glory, all of the splendors of heaven, to come to you and I. To be robed in human flesh in this old sinful, broken, messed up world so that we could find salvation, so we can find hope, so we could find help, so we could find healing in a Savior that come from a long way off. He traveled all that way He didn't have to leave heaven for you and I, but he left the glory and the splendors of heaven to come be robed in human flesh, born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, crucified on Calvary's hill in my place and your place, and rose again on that third day so we could find help and healing in him. Boy, he come from a long way off. When I think about the distance he traveled from heaven, but I want you to understand too, when I was lost, I was as lost could be. I'm thankful that he traveled all the way to where I was at. I'm thankful for that. I know as preachers, we give an invitation when we preach a salvation message. We'll give an invitation, ask you to come to the altar and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I'm glad that he's willing to travel such a distance up to where if you can't make it out of the bar room to an altar, he can save you there. I'm glad if you're in a drug house, you don't have to make it to an altar, he can save you there. I'm glad if you're living under a bridge, he can save you there. I'm glad if you're living in a palace, our God can save you there if you'll turn to him. Oh, the distance he comes to save us. How far did he come to get you and save you? Was it in the dark of night? Was it in the midnight hour? Was it in the depths of human depravity? In the midst of all of your filth and all of your sin, did he come to save you? He travels a great distance, that balm of Gilead, our Savior and our Lord. Well, not only that, but here's the thing about the balm of Gilead as well. That little evergreen, that balsam, that little spruce, like tree, bush, if you will. You need to know it's very unlovely. It's very unattractive. It couldn't be a beautiful little evergreen. It couldn't be a beautiful little spruce, but it's very ugly. Sarah's papa was in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. He was in the second wave of invasions on D-Day in Normandy and then went on to serve under Patton, and he was in the Battle of the Bulge. Those of you who know anything about history, remember the Battle of the Bulge. American troops were poorly equipped, poorly clothed, outgunned in every way, very little to no ammo, and no food to eat. And there, those little band of soldiers, they literally held the line until help arrived. But in the Battle of the Bulge, they were there on Christmas. And Sarah's papa and some of the other soldiers, they found a little hemlock they cut and they made a little Christmas tree in their foxhole. So every year, they would put up a Christmas tree, but Papa Chandler always had to have a little cut hemlock. And we would go cut that thing, and it very much, I don't even know if you got hemlocks down here. Again, this 108 miles throws me off. I'm still learning. I mean, I've just now got moodagrass under my belt. You know what I mean? So we would go cut that little tree, and it looked kind of like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Now I'm talking your language, amen? You with me? Yeah, that's about what looked ugly, the ugliest Christmas tree you'd ever see. I remember there was one growing on the side of Sarah's mom and daddy's driveway, right above our driveway, and that was to be one of his next ones before he died, but it had already been picked out, the ugliest little tree. Well, that balsam tree, the balm of Gilead, in Gilead, it was very unattractive. It was very ugly. There was nothing beautiful about it. The balm of Gilead. That balsam tree. Oh, and I couldn't help but to think of Isaiah 53, where Isaiah said that, speaking of the Lord and the coming Messiah, Isaiah said there's no beauty in him. There's nothing attractive about him. The King James says he's uncomely looking. You will not find anything that would make you want to cast your desires upon the Savior when he comes, because he's going to be bruised. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be beaten. He's so unattractive. Oh, that's for the lost man. But can I say, for those that know him, for those that have received his healing in so many ways of our life, can I just say that he's the fairest among 10,000s? Can I say he's the lily of the valley? Can I say he's the rose of Sharon? Can I say he's the bright and morning star, our Savior, the balm of Gilead? Well, he's beautiful, and the last thing I want to show you about this balm, if you will. I want you to understand this. As I studied this, years ago I studied it. It's been refreshing these days past, studying it again. But number three, this little balsam tree, where this balm comes from. Now, this, hang on, I'm about to wind this up, and this is not just simply a biology lesson. The thing about this little balsam where the balm of Gilead was extracted is the healing was not in the roots. It's not in the roots. Up home, we've got some weeds where there's healing at. Bloodroot, the old timers claim there's healing in that. Ginseng grows up home in the mountains. There's healing in that. Sassafras tea, there's healing in that. But the healing was not in the root of the balsam, of this balm, where this balm of Gilead comes. The healing was not in the leaves. In fact, they say if you eat the leaves, it's very bitter. It can make you sick to your stomach. Are you with me? But the healing was in the tree. And so what they had to do was they had to pierce this tree, this bush, the bark, the main stems. They would have to pierce it, and they would have to cut it. And when they would pierce it, and when they would cut it, it was from those wounds, if I may, of this tree that the balm began to ooze out. I'm back to Isaiah again. Again, our old prophet of doom, but he mentions Jesus. I was thinking about how that by His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. That in Him and His sufferings and His shedding blood, there's healing for us and redemption for all of mankind. And then I watched how they had, though this won't cost you a thing, we'll only pass the offering plate once, not twice, though I should because this one's good. Then I discovered the extracting process. I discovered that when that resin oozes out of those wounds, that number one, is tear-shaped. The Bible says Jesus wept. And then again on the cross where he says, he looks upon the crowd and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I can't help but to think they was weeping then. But it's tear-shaped. And then what they do is, then they take the wool of a lamb to collect that balm with. I'm back to Isaiah 53 again. Isaiah 53 said he was led as a lamb before the shears. I'm just reminded of Jesus when I look at that balm of Gilead. It's all about our Savior and the healing that He brings for you and I. But then that balm, as it's collected with that wool, then it's put in to new jars. New jars. I think about how our Savior hung, bled, and died, was buried for 3 days in the heart of the earth, just like He said He would be. But then on that third day, He arose, and He arose, listen to me, physically, bodily, visibly. He's alive today. Resurrection has been breathed into Him. God, through His Spirit, has raised Jesus from the dead, and He ever liveth forevermore to make intercession for us. He's alive today. We serve a risen Savior. Listen, they may be some places sing dead songs. They may be some churches, some preachers preach dead sermons. But I want you to know it's a dishonor and a discredit because we have a Savior that lives today and lives forevermore. So this tree, it's cut, it's pierced. This balm oozes out. This balm is collected and it's in it is healing and it's medicinal. So, preacher, where are you going with this? Let me go back to where we started at. I look at your life. I look around at God's people. I look at the shape of some of our churches. I look at the shape of this country in which we live. You know, it's got to this place where it's not just that we have left the principles of our founding fathers or that we have left the principles of God's Word. It's not just that anymore. It's extreme anymore. It's as if the liberals have not only departed from the Word, which they did long ago, but they are absolutely against and everything they do is contrary to principles that we hold dear in our life as Jesus, as believers of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you're wiggling because you're political, just wiggle around a little more. I'm done with that. If that makes you uncomfortable, then get in the Word. Our country's left. But when I look at your life and my life, I look at our church, I look at our nation, my question is Jeremiah's, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician who can heal this or fix this? But I know that question has an answer. That there is a balm in Gilead. And you come to church this morning and you've drug in your troubles and you've drug in your problems and you've come with your burdens. I'm glad you have. Let me tell you something. This, my friend, is a hospital for the sick. That's what the church is. You're not supposed to come in here perfect and having it together. If you come in here perfect and got it all together, then you don't need Jesus. You could have stayed at home today. But if you come in messed up, if you come in with troubles, if you come in with brokenness, if you come in with conflict and bliss and turmoil in your life, I've got news for you. We've got a Savior that can heal you today, and you can leave made whole. I want the praise team or Elizabeth, whatever y'all have worked out for an invitation to come forward, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. This is one of those Sundays. Okay, we're gonna do this today or tomorrow or next week. Reed, I was about to call on you to come sing. You're almost in trouble. Listen. This is one of those Sundays. When the Lord has offered Himself to you in every way. If you're lost, you can be saved. You can bring all of your sins and cast it upon Him. Because He who knew no sin becomes sin for you. The Son of God become the Son of Man so that the sons of men can become sons of God. So if you've never been saved today, you can be saved. But I'm glad God was not only interested in saving my soul, but He wants to save me from myself and all of my troubles, all of my burdens. I'm glad that salvation is so many, it's three tenses. I'm glad that the salvation that He give me, listen, it's not only good for my sins, which is my chiefest need, but man, when I've got burdens, there's healing for that. When I've got troubles, there's a cure for that. When I've tried everything else, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 46, when I've tried everything else and I can't find help and I can't find hope and I can't get an answer and I can't get this burden lifted off of me and these troubles worked out and straightened out, I'm glad that there's a Savior who cares about all that. He wants all of that. Cast your cares upon Him. Man, that word cast right there in that text means literally to throw down like a snake. Sling your burdens on the Lord. Get rid of them now and get rid of them quick. Man, if you come with a burden today, you come with some troubles today, and let me just reiterate right here, I'm not talking about stump toes. Man, if you stumped your toe, then just sit in your seat because I stumped mine getting out of the shower today. So there's a lot of stump toes. I'm talking about people with troubles. And I'm talking about emotionally, you're struggling. Mentally, you're struggling. Physically, your body is broken. You need a touch from the Lord above. Relationally, within your family, you are sick about your children. You obsess about them because of a road they're on or the path they've chosen. Or maybe they're just good kids, but you don't even know if they know Jesus. Your job is at stake. You've lost your job. Your finances, you've tried your best. It's not been wasteful spending. You've done your best and you still struggle. In days gone by, you've just made a wreck of life. You've made some mistakes. You've done some things and behind you is a trail of carnage. And you know it's all because of choices you've made that you've messed things up. Man, I got good news for you today. There is a cure. There is a balm in Gilead.
In one moment, he can fix all that. In one moment, he can make it all well. In one moment, you could leave here different than the way you come today. I'm going to express to you this, and I close, and then they can sing. I want you to stand with me because you're going to come to this altar in a moment. And again, listen very quietly and reverently. Listen. This is not that Sunday to stay in your pew. I'm not trying to make something happen. If the Lord has not spoke to you and moving you, do not come. This is not of me. But what I'm saying is this is not that Sunday when you've got troubles and you've got problems and you've got, and they're there every day, day in and day out. Man, you've run to Facebook, you've been to the counselor, you've been to the psychologist, you've been to the doctor, you've grabbed this bottle or that bottle, you've been to your friends, you've been to other pastors, you've come to me and they still no help. Man, this is the day Jesus has offered himself as the balm of Gilead. He's here to heal you, to help you, to give you hope. But I want you to know my frustration as pastor is this. Listen, I can't make you take the medicine. If you won't take the medicine, there's nothing I can do. My hands are tied. But Jesus is the medicine. What a difference our homes would be if we would just take on Jesus and His Word. How He could mend relationships if we'd just take on Jesus and His Word. How we could move on from the burdens of our past if we'd just take on Jesus and His Word. How that He could fix so much that ails us if we'd just take on the Lordship of Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours and you're mine. Heal me. Put your faith in the balm of Gilead. Put your faith in a Savior who's very present today. He's moving in and out of this altar. He's moving through those pews. He's moving in and out of your heart. Your mind is racing because the Spirit of the living God has touched you at this very moment. On their first word, don't you wait on somebody else to move, because your attitude today should be, if nobody else moves, I've got issues, I've got troubles, there's a cure has been presented, and I'm going to take that medicine today, and that medicine is Jesus. Sing, if you will. Joy, come. Come, bring it all. Bring it all. Bring it all. Yes, lay it on Him. All of your struggles. Lord, how we know. Touch them, Lord. Yes. Amen. Can you just pray that? You don't have to know what to say. Just come to this altar and say, Jesus, I need you. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Yes, touch them, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. That's right. Pour it out. Pour it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Pour it out. That's right. Jesus. Yes, yes. Sing that, church. Yes, yes. Yes, that's right. Hallelujah. Sing it. Sing, church. Let it be a banner over these, our friends, our brothers, our sisters. Touch them, Lord, I pray. God help us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. Yes. Oh, thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Father, living God, we thank you, Jesus, that, oh God, that we can cast it all on you, Jesus. Thank you. And have your way. We put our faith in you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yeah, sing, church, sing it.
Jesus, I need you. Every moment, I need you.
Yes. Yes, while folks are praying, just close your eyes and for just a little while right now, get lost in Him. Yes. That's right. Yes. That's right. That's right, church. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Bless His name. Yes.
Jesus, I need you. Every moment, I need you. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't even know what to say right now. The Lord's so real in here. Amen. You need to give him your amen, your hallelujah. Amen. Your praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's very present. Whew. My goodness. I hope you were not here but not here today. Because if you were here but not here, you missed it. Because he's here. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. Slain from before the foundation of the world. Before you ever had a sin debt, that was part of God's plan. Before you ever needed to be saved. Before you ever had a burden. Before you ever had a problem. Before you ever had a trouble. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in his blood, there's healing for you and I. Whew, okay, I'm going to go. Wednesday night we left early, so we get to stay here later today. I can still keep preaching. Amen. Roger, come, because I'm not stopping. Amen. Amen. Let me say this. Let's just, in fact,